So my favorite Bible verse is Habakkuk 2:2, which I'll lead to for you all to find. I can feel it, though. You all heard John 3:16, and you thought, yes, it's once in every 3 years that we hear this in church. Art's going to tell us what it means. I would refer you back to the Barbara Rossing lecture from last week, where she does a very good job of that text. But we are not the first generation, neither the first epoch in the church to have favorite Bible verses. Have you ever wondered what other people at other times have had as favorite verses? I'll tell you, it hasn't always been John 3:16. In fact, I think today we get some insight into the favorite Bible verse of several of our favorite Bible authors. And it's not in the gospel lesson. In fact, I told the dean when I asked him last week if I could have Romans read that I did it just because I wanted to hear Chase Untermyer say reckon in church. But that's not it either. Did you hear it? It's amazing how this one verse from the book of Genesis ties together the three major threads of New Testament theology. That in St. Paul, that in the letter to James, and that in the letter to the Hebrews. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. This single verse appears twice in St. Paul, once in Galatians and once here in Romans. Likewise, it appears in the letter to the Hebrews and in the letter of James. And so one can imagine that this simple verse was the John 3:16 of its day, seeing as perhaps all of those authors were writing before there even was a John 3:16. This verse, apart from being just kind of coincidentally common, highlights the fact that God and Abraham were in relationship before Abraham was a Jew. Perhaps it points or helps to make arguments, as all three of our authors are wanting to do, that Gentile participation in salvation is not a novelty, but rather a very old practice, particularly when you have a community of converted Jews who might be skeptical. Abraham participated in God's salvation before the law, before the circumcision. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, we could think about this perhaps as an Old Testament version of Luther's by grace alone, through faith alone. That is, God worked in the life of Abraham, not for what Abraham did, but because Abraham believed. But as with any text lifted from its context, I think that simple understanding runs the risk of certain misinterpretation. As it's deployed in Romans, Paul is clear that Abraham has nothing about which to boast in the face of God. There's nothing that Abraham has done that has earned him favor with the Most High. However, the line, Abraham believed God, has, at least in later eras of the church, become something of a works righteousness in itself. How does one get on the right side of God? Many in our tradition have asked. Well, it's simple. All one needs do is believe in God. That's simple, and that's heartening for those of us who are particularly bad at good works. But it's kind of missing the point, isn't it? The simple addition of that word in to make it believe in God rather than to believe God turns this act of faith into something that begins with us and is a litmus test against which we can judge ourselves and others as if we had something about which to boast. But that's not the point. If we go back into the story of Genesis, we find that the passage from which this comes, Genesis 15, 6, is not Abraham's first encounter with the Lord. In fact, comes from the second or maybe the third story. Abraham's first encounter with God is an audiation. The Lord speaks to Abraham. He says, "Go. I have prepared a place for you." And this, Abraham believed. Note the difference between believed and believed in. Abraham did not mentally conjure a God from a set of scriptures or creedal statements, something that could be believed in. Rather, God reached out to Abraham. Literally, God speaks to Abraham and makes a promise. And it is God's promise that Abraham believes. God's existence or nature is not at stake in these texts, but God's trustworthiness is. By Genesis 15:6, God has already been working in Abraham's life. God was the first mover here, the prime agent, the one who reached out to Abraham. All Abraham did was affirm that what was happening was happening. To put it in the context of the Nicodemus reading this morning, all Abraham had to do was stick his finger up and say, "Yep, that wind is sure blowing." This is the soul of righteousness, according to Paul. This is what it means to be on the correct side of God, to believe that God is trustworthy, and that the work that God has already begun in your life is actually happening. It's a far lower bar, I think, than we may previously have thought. For Paul, as he renders a few lines lower, the real mystery of Abraham is that he believed that God justifies even the ungodly. Because Abraham knew that about himself. And I can't help but think that Paul knew it about himself too. And so for us during this season of Lent, as we march on in our own self-discipline and our own self-examination, how do we make use of Abraham's witness of this John 3:16 of the New Testament world? Well, I have a few suggestions. Inasmuch as the call to a holy Lent encourages us to read and meditate on God's holy word, then let us look specifically and read specifically and meditate specifically on those times in Scripture when God was the prime actor. To seek out places where God acted for the good in the lives of those who did not or did not yet have a relationship with Him. To see how God reckons as righteous, that is, already believes to be on his side those who recognize his actions and trust in God's words. The call to a holy Lent also encourages us to self-examination and to prayer. So let us search for times in our own lives, for God did not stop acting at the end of the Scripture. Let us search for times in our own lives, past and present, where God was working on our behalf even when we did not recognize it. And let us use that as an opportunity to renew our belief. Not so much a belief in, but rather a belief that God justifies even the ungodly. Amen.